Welcome to the Last Round MMA.
The guy's never beaten me. In order to be the champion, you have to beat the champion.
A podcast for the MMA fan.
Imagine that. Look at everybody up here. They're all dressed like me. They're all trying to talk like me. They're all trying to be me.
Bringing you in-depth interviews and more from across the MMA world.
This is like pride. You know, everybody's here. I feel great. And, you know, I can't wait. Saturday night, I'm going to crush this guy hype.
Are you ready? Let's start the show.
Welcome to the Last Round podcast. And today we have something a little bit different. Today we have the co-founder of Fit Warrior Brand, Fernando Medina. Thanks for joining me today, Fernando.
Thank you for having me.
So for people, I'm sure, you know, who are in and around all of the fight sports, you'll have seen many of his, many of his clients wearing the Fit Warrior logo. You have some of the biggest clients in the game. You've got the WBC Council wear their stuff, War Tape. Ex-UFC champion Amanda Nunes, up-and-coming champion Kay Hansen, Alexa Grasso, and then in the world of boxing, you have Teofimo Lopez, Xander Zayas, and Jamel Herring. So, Fernando, before we get into, you know, the landscape now, just tell me, like, where did you grow up and how did you actually get into fight sports?
Yeah, I grew up in Southgate, California. It's on the outskirts of the city of L.A., and at a young age, I would say maybe like 8 or 9 years old, every time we would go somewhere, I would get the itch to just doodle on papers, you know, different things that would pop into my head. And one thing that stood out to me even back, you know, back then as a young child is that people would always be shocked at the, you know, final result of whatever I drew. And from there, you know, I didn't think anything of it. You know, you're just a kid, you know, just drawing whatever comes into your mind. But then once I started getting into middle school, I started drawing different things in art class. And those drawings were sent to different like fairs, you know, like they have like the LA County Fair, the Orange County Fair. And I started winning some awards there. I think I was like 13 years old. So at a young age, I was always good at art, sort of say, right? Then when I got into high school, my senior year in high school, which was 1993, the World Cup that year held a national competition. And it was each student had to submit a basically what you thought the World Cup represented to the world, right? So, you know, I submitted my drawing, and right before I graduated from high school, I got summons to the front office where I was told that the FIFA had chosen my drawing to be shown at the Rose Bowl, which the Rose Bowl was the main stadium for the championship. That year, I believe there were 6 or 7 students that were chosen to have their art presented at different locations, but mine was chosen for the Rose Bowl, which was like the main one. So that to me kind of really opened my eyes and told me, hey, you know what? You know, you're pretty good at drawing. Yeah.
Before you move on, to interrupt, but what did you draw? What was the picture?
It was 2 soccer players. One of them is on his knees, basically going like this. Mm-hmm. And the other one is running right behind them, about to give him a hug. And then to the right of them, it was the world, Earth, with the flags like kind of popping out and in and around the world and into the athletes. So you see like the Korean flag, Italian flag, US flag, you know, circling around the world and into the athletes. Once we're done with the interview and I get home, I'll forward you the actual artwork. Mm-hmm. But for our family, that was special. You know, I didn't get to bask in the glory of the media because, you know, the media got involved with it. One of the reasons is that I went into the military right after graduation. So my parents were the ones that represented me for all the FIFA interviews and whatnot. But that's how I really understood that I had, you know, some talent in art. Unfortunately, you know, I went into the military, did 3 years there, and I stopped drawing. You know, I just focused on learning that job, those skills, which were great. You know, I got to be in the United Nations mission in Haiti back in 1995. And that experience actually was very impactful for me. While we were there, I was fortunate enough to be able to start actually a soccer camp there on the base with some of the local kids in and around the area. So I was actually researching Haiti about 4 or 5 months ago, and now. In that same area where we were at the base camp, it turned into one of Haiti's main soccer academies, actually. So I'm not taking credit for starting that, but it felt good that, you know, in a certain location where we started from, you know, donated soccer balls and just me taking the time to give back to some of those unfortunate kids. Maybe it blossomed into something that the nation kind of took in, and now I believe it's one of the, you know, main headquarters for the soccer academy there in Haiti.
That's amazing. It went from there. So after you, when you came out of the armed forces, what did you do during that period before Fit Warrior?
So when I came out about a year later, I met my wife. I was going to college at the time, and I met my wife. She was out here on vacation from Mexico, and we met, you know, we started dating. Actually, it started as long distance relationship because she was originally from over there. But she was doing a graphic design work in Mexico. So about a year later, she moved out to LA and we started dating here. And I started getting the itch again to draw. So, you know, I would see her, you know, working on the software on the computer, and it caught my attention. And I told her, hey, why don't you teach me how to use that? Like, I have a lot of ideas in my head. So, you know, things I wanted to work on and not have her do for me, because, you know, once you have a vision as an artist, you know, it's kind of hard for someone to replicate that. It's just something that you're good at. So my training basically was for a whole month, one every day, I recreated all the NFL logos.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, one day I would recreate the Oakland Raiders. The next day was the New York Giants. So every day for 30 days, that was my training, basically. And after 30 days, I felt comfortable now where I can, you know, go in and do my own type of art. You know, if I have something in my head, I can go in there and do it myself. So I learned that. It took me, you know, a couple of months. Once I scratched that off, I wanted to learn how to actually print on t-shirts. I had no background in it. You know, I did my due diligence. I bought a book. I read it. I actually went to downtown LA and I bought this book that was like this thick. It was like 300 or 400 pages long. And basically the book was named How to Learn How to Silkscreen Print. So I bought the book, went home, read it that same night. And at the end of the book, it taught you how to make a makeshift printing machine out of wood that you can buy at a Home Depot. So I think the cost was like $200 or $300, right? So I went to Home Depot the next day, bought the wood, brought it back, and it took me another day to build a whole silkscreen print machine from wood. You know, and we had no budget. I still didn't know how to actually print the shirt, print the ink on the shirt and then cure it, right? Mm. So I still had to learn that, but at least the machine was already done. I had no money to buy an industrial heater. So what we did was we went to the 99-cent store. And back then, you know, we were talking about early 2000, at the 99-cent store, they used to sell like these little small coil burners that you would plug to the outlet and put your coffee pot on top once it got red.
Right.
I don't know if you ever seen those, but yeah. So what I did was I bought six of those, flipped them upside down, and used some bricks to hold them up, right? So it can act as a stove per se, right? Mm. So once I printed the shirts, I would get the shirt and just slip it in and out so the ink can cure. Because that the only way that Plastisol ink like this here mm-hmm. can cure is by heat.
Right.
So in a nutshell, I went in and did something that just captured my imagination and my mind and learned it from scratch, basically, with no budget.
What were the first couple of prints that you did at that time?
At that time, the first time I did something that I just drew, right? But I can't recall what it was. But the first time I offered my services, one of my friends was coaching a swim team. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I approached them and told them, hey, you know what? I know how to silk screen print now. Would you like for me to print your swim team t-shirts? And he gave me the job, and I was still green, bro. I was still working things out. It took me about a week and a half to do that job when normally now it takes us, you know, an hour or two. Mm. But I just wanted, you know, to give it a shot. And I did deliver the apparel to his team. The check that he gave me, I went, cashed it, and actually bought our first, you know, piece of equipment, which was a real flash heater to cure the shirts.
Right.
But that's basically how I got into apparel and printing, the first stages of it. And from there, you know, I started printing for local companies that I just built a good relationship with. Then in 2004, that's when the USC Trojans here in the Coliseum were hot. They had Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart. It was the golden years for USC. And we had season tickets to those games. So what I would do is I would make about 50 to 100 shirts of a specific design about that game we were going to. Mm-hmm. Without, you know, interfering with the intellectual rights of USC or the other team.
Right.
And the first time we did it, we didn't think we were going to sell, you know, that many, but we ended up selling out within an hour. Yeah, within an hour. So we looked at each other like, wow, this is pretty great. Like, we get to come to a game, make a little money, and, you know, leave the fans buying something unique that they can't really get at the USC store, right?
For people that are listening, Fernando, like what can you and can't you print? Because you just said then you can't infringe on their rights. So what can you print and what can't you print?
So I'm gonna give you an example, like the Los Angeles Lakers logo, right? Mm-hmm. They earned the right. They have the rights to certain logos that pertain to the team. But if you come up with something, per se, like Mr. LeBron or King James or something like that, that does not interfere with the actual Lakers logo, you can do it and sell it and print it. I mean, print it and sell it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. As long as it doesn't interfere with that, you're free to, you know, express yourself artistically as much as you want. So that's what basically I did during those home football games. And that experience was actually the training grounds for me for what we do now, because I was coming up with different designs for athletes on the team that their families actually appreciated, because we became big, so big that USC started sending letters to my house saying, hey, you know what, you're infringing, you're on the borderline of impacting this athlete's scholarship, right? I took a step back and we stopped doing it, because I love what I do and we love making a little bit of money, but not at that cost,
right?
And also it taught me a lot. It taught me a lot about marketing, customer service. We were selling more gear than the actual student store, which was maybe, you know, a couple hundred yards away. So from there, I gained experience off of that and continued doing, jobs for companies that we build relationships for. And the way we slipped into the fight game was in 2018, and it was all by chance. I went to go visit one of my cousins. He actually just texted me right now as we're doing the interview. It's funny how things happen, bro. Like, it's, we're talking about all this history of it, and he's texting me right now. I haven't texted him in a while either. But I go to his house, and, he opens the door, and there's three guys in his living room without shirts on IVs. And I'm like, hey, cuz, should I come back? I don't know what. I don't know what's going on. Like, is everything cool? He's like, no, you're good. These guys are boxers. They're hydrating because they're going through their weight cuts, right? And one of the boxers there, his name is Victor Terrazas. Former WBC. I believe he was a bantamweight WBC champion at one point. So he introduced me to him, and it was his fight week, and that time he was fighting Jojo Diaz in Fantasy Springs Casino. That was, I believe, February 2018. And my cousin actually asked Victor, hey, you know what? He prints shirts. Would you like some shirts for your team for the fight? And the guy agreed. He texted me his logo. I went home, created something for him, made the shirts. We actually made some jumpsuits. I had never made jumpsuits before. This was all new to me. Growing up, boxing was not one of my favorite sports. I've always been a baseball, football guy. Boxing, back then, I can only name the top names, Julio Cesar Chavez, Mike Tyson, which is my favorite of all time. Names of that sort. So boxing was fairly new to me. So we ended up making the gear. He invites us to the fight. He actually invited me through the whole experience of going, into the back and seeing how you're interviewed by the panel. How you have like three guys and they interview the whole team. I don't know what they call that.
Like the media day, they kind of get information about the fighter before so they can use it on commentary.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we were invited to that, and it was three guys. It was Duran.
Beto Duran.
Beto Duran was one of them. And then Bernard Hopkins was the other guy. And I forget who was the third. But one thing that I was proud of, that being in there, was, they're doing the whole interview and questions back and forth and answering. And before the interview was over, Bernard Hopkins asked the team, he's like, hey, you know what? I've been around, you know, the game, obviously, many a years, done it all, seen it all. But I must say that I really like what you guys are wearing. You know, who made that for you guys? And his trainer looked over and he's like, you see that guy back there standing way in the back? He's the one that made it. So Bernard actually walked up and went over to talk to me for a while and said, hey, you know what? That's pretty cool. You know, it's cool shirts. You know, you did a great job. And you know, I took a picture with him. And that to me was a very lasting impact that, you know, I tell it to my friends all the time because it's kind of unique where a fighter of his caliber, you know, appreciates when he sees something like that. You know? So, that evening, we went to the fight. I take pictures, take videos of the whole experience. That was my first boxing match ever. I had never been to a boxing match before. And I loved the energy and the experience of being in there. It was something totally different from being at a football game or a baseball game. It's just, there's something mystical in the air at a boxing match. It's kind of unique. I don't know how to describe it. Maybe you feel the same. But for me, it was like, even right now, like the back of my hair stand up thinking about that time. But the next morning, you know, I uploaded the videos and the pictures that we took from the fight. You know, back then, you know, it was my own personal Instagram. It wasn't a brand Instagram. Loaded up the videos and pictures, and within 2 hours I was reached out by two athletes and like three managers asking if I was willing to work with them. And I was in shock. I was like, wow, what's happening? Like, is people really like this stuff? And I knew I was good at drawing and you know, and printing gear, but never did I ever think that this was going to lead to something else. It was just something that I was doing from the kindness of my heart. The guy didn't pay for anything. You know, we donated basically the whole gear to Victor and his team. So from there, we started working with Ryan Martin. Mm-hmm. I believe back then he was 135 pounds, something like that. We started working with him and he went to a fight and athletes started asking him, hey, you know, who made your gear? And he started referring us to, he referred us to me. And I started working with these other athletes. And then we started working with Joey Spencer. Mm-hmm. From his pro debut. He was actually the second one. Third one was Joshua Franco from Garcia's boxing up there in Riverside. And then from there, you know, we started working with Jesse. You know, back then he was like 17 years old, 18 years old. So, you know, we were working with all the up and comers, you know, all the young guys. And to me, I take pride in that. And I'm going to tell you why. You know, when you're beginning a journey in sports, there's very limited opportunities, you know, whether it be a monetary assistance, you know, the right equipment, whatever, you know, I grew up playing sports practically all my youth from like 8 years old all the way into my 20s. I also coached, a lot of people don't know this, but, you know, I also coached for over 12 years. I was a swim coach. So I understand, you know, the the coach athlete relationship, the training schedules, the nutrition, looking for opportunities for your athletes. I understand all of that. That's why I have a good relationship with a lot of the people that we work with, because I get it. You know, I've been on both sides. I've been on the athlete side and I've been on the coaching side. So, you know, whether it's boxing, baseball, whatever, everything's the same because you're teaching the same you know, work ethic, nutrition, everything's related, you know. So one of the things that I learned as a coach was that there was always very limited opportunities to give to your athletes. So when we worked with Terrazas on that first fight, I'm like, you know what, maybe we can start something where we can help all the young guys coming up that don't have those same opportunities, like Canelo. You know, Canelo has his own gear. He doesn't need anybody like us. Spence has his own gear. He doesn't need us. Crawford has his own gear up in, he actually has his own store in Nebraska. You know, those guys, you know, they've been in the game. They've made, you know, a lot of money, so they can do things like what we do for themselves. But
not everybody else has those same opportunities, you know? So basically, that's how we fill in that void. My battery's going dead.
What year did you name it Fit Warrior, and where did the name come from?
So the name came from actually once we started working with these athletes. Prior to that, a friend of mine and myself, we ventured into doing a triathlon. We had never done one before, and we wanted to try something new and unique that would challenge us. So we went and did that, and we finished it, had a great time. It was in Catalina Island. And we came back and we said, you know what? How can we take this experience and give back to somebody else who's going through, you know, whatever, whether it's depression or anxiety or going through a bad time in their life, whatever it is, maybe we can, you know, fulfill a platform where we can help other people, you know, do great things just like we just accomplished, right? And, you know, that's where the name came from. We're like, how about Fit Warrior? That relates to everybody across all sports. It's not just boxing. You know, it relates to everyone across the world. A Fit Warrior impacts, you know, all genres, all backgrounds, all anything you do, everyone can relate to a Fit Warrior. So that's how we came up with the name. We wanted a name that can relate to everybody across the world. And the FTWR is just the abbreviation for Fit Warrior. You know, a lot of people, when they see the FTWR, they say, oh, Fight Warrior. But no, it's right. It's FTWR is abbreviation for Fit Warrior.
Who came up with the quote that you have on the website? And I'll just read it now so everyone can know. It's, you know, Fit Warrior is more than just a brand. It's a way of life. So be brave, be strong, and be courageous in your pursuit of your goals.
I'll take the credit for that one. Yeah. You know, when you're starting your website, you know, and you're doing your bio and wanting people to read something about your brand or your business, I wanted them to read something impactful, not just like, okay, we do gear for so-and-so and this athlete, these sports and whatever. I wanted them to understand that our brand is more than just that. You know, it's we're more than that. So we take pride in what we do, and we take more pride in impacting people's lives more than anything. The brand is more of a platform to help all the athletes we work with. And, you know, they bless us with the opportunity. Every fight for us is a blank canvas. We get to create something cool that they appreciate and that their fans are going to appreciate. And we're just along for the ride.
Since we're touching on that, let's kind of go through the process together. So you can give me an example if you want, like a fighter reaches out to you. What's the process from them reaching out to them that then walk into the ring with your apparel?
So the first steps, and I'm a, you know, kind of worded to where it's someone that we've never worked with before. Mm-hmm. I actually go through Instagram, and I look for athletes that represent themselves well. You know, that to me, character is number one, mm-hmm. right? And then talent comes after that. And then third is how good they are, you know, on social media. Do they interact with their fans? You know, are they, you know, do they have a positive social media outlet? And once I feel that it's a good fit, I'll reach out to them and say, hey, you know what? We're interested in working a collaboration, apparel deal with you. And if they say yes, the first step is to have a meeting just like you and I are having now to kind of brainstorm exactly what it is that they want to do for to start the collaboration, whether they have an existing logo, we'll roll with that and just kind of design around that. But if they do not have anything, you know, to start from, we'll just get ideas and kind of, you know, make something work.
Are there times where they just give you full rein and then you just get to do the design and then send it over?
You know what? Most of the time they give us full rein. It's you know, that's the beauty of it. Like, I love when they just give ideas. And at the end, they say, but you guys are the best. So go ahead and basically freestyle it. I'm sure we'll like it. And 9 times out of 10, when we send that out for them to review, they love it. You know, very rarely do we get anything, well, you know, you got to change this or change that. It's been a blessing, man. We've been able to work with athletes that appreciate what we do. And once, you know, we're finished, you know, designing something for them, they get it and they're excited just to begin, you know, the new fight shirt for that specific fight.
How big was it for you when you got to work with another veteran in Jamal Herring?
Oh, man, I was excited. I was excited. Jamal is one of the unique, you know, individuals in all of sports, not just boxing, that has ties to the military and blossomed into an outstanding boxer. You know, you can look all across the board. There's really no one out there like him, you know, and to me, when we reached out to him and he said yes, I literally jumped up because, you know, I relate to him. You know, he has a military background. I'm a military guy. And I had him circled for a while. But honestly, I was scared he was going to say no because it was... You know, I don't want to get denied by someone that I was a fan of, you know, but oh, he instantly said yes. And, you know, he sent us his artwork. We did, I believe we started with his actual design on a black shirt with gold and it looked beautiful. Like we shipped it to him. He opened it. He's like, oh my God, this is just amazing. He had never worn any of our gear. So I was excited for him to see his reaction and he totally loved it. But yeah, man, I was excited to work with Jamal. Even to this day, we still work with him.
How did the collaboration with Teofimo Lopez come about?
That one, you know what? One of the guys that was helping him reached out to us. And at first it was just to provide shirts for him specifically. It wasn't for a collab. Teofimo actually made us work for it. So, you know, Teofimo has a very small circle. He doesn't let a lot of people come around and do things for his team. You have to kind of like build to it. But fortunately, you know, we started doing little orders here and there specifically for him. And then he would wear them to, you know, different events, media interviews and things like that. And then about a year later was when he blessed us to actually start an official collaboration with us hosting his gear on our website. And from there, you know, obviously he turned, that was in 2018 when he first started using the takeover. You know, a lot of people thought he was, you know, talking too much or whatever. But man, that kid has backed up everything, you know, he ever said and blossomed into, you know, a champion with multiple belts. Mm. But that's how that began. You know, it was through one of the people that that was helping him with different things for the team.
And how about the collaboration with the ex-UFC champion Amanda Nunes? Because she's, you know, one of the biggest in the game, one of the pioneers of women's fight sports.
Yeah, with her, this is also a cool story. We're working with Johnny Ebling, which back then, you know, he fights on Bellator. He's actually fighting for a title very soon, like I think in like a month or two. But back then, he was just beginning his career. And he was training out of the same gym as Amanda. And Amanda, I guess, saw his shirt. And we were also working with another female fighter out of her gym. And Amanda bought one of the shirts for the female fighter to support her at her fight. I forget her name. And we work with so many athletes that, you know, sometimes I'm bad with names. But Amanda bought the shirt, went to the fight wearing the shirt, and I actually saw on social media a picture of her wearing the shirt, and I thought it was cool. I was like, oh my God, that's Amanda Nunes is wearing one of the shirts we made. So supporting, you know, her, one of her teammates from the gym. And right then and then, I thought, how cool would it be to one day work with someone like her? Mm. And maybe about 2 weeks later, my phone rang and there was a number from Florida, unknown, but you know, the number came up. So I answered it and it was her girlfriend, now wife, Nina Ansaroff. So she called and said, hey, my name is Nina Ansaroff. You know, I'm looking to inquire about possibly doing, you know, shirts with you. So at first I thought it was someone, you know, calling me, making a joke, right? And I said, who are you again? Because the name sounded familiar, but I couldn't hear it clearly. And she like, Nina Ansaroff, Amanda Nunes' girlfriend. And I totally went into shock, bro. I couldn't believe I was getting this call. And so I quickly said, you know, how can we help you? Of course, you know, so Amanda fell in love with the way we make the gold on the shirts. And but I'll get into that after I answer this question for you. So I told Nina, hey, you know what? Send me what you want on the shirt and I'll send you a sample. That way, you know, you can see exactly what it is that we do. She's like, well, we know what you do, you know, we just want to, you know, work with you. So I said, send me your logo and then, you know, we'll get it started. She sent me her logo and I was in Riverside with my wife. We were visiting a family member. As soon as I got off the call, I told my wife, hey, we got to go. We got to go home right now. She's like, what happened? I'm like, I'll talk to you about it later or on the ride back, but we got to go home now. So went home. You know, when we started all this, we were working out of my garage at home. And run into the garage. I download the logo. I make the shirt. I run to FedEx and pay for overnight shipping. So the package gets there the next day in the morning. I get an alert on my phone and I text Nina. I say, go to your front door. There's something there for you. She's like, what? I'm like, there's a package there for you. Go, you know, go get it. And she opens the door and gets the package. And she calls me, you know, like 2 minutes later. And she's like, are you serious? I'm like, now you know how we do business. That was to me to prove a point saying, hey, not only do I want to work with you, but now you know exactly how determined and the way we go about, you know, doing things with our brand, you know. And she instantly said yes to the collab. And that's how that happened.
Just before we started recording, we were kind of talking about how we both kind of have the same sort of saying in, you only get one first impression.
Mm-hmm.
And that just kind of goes to show, would you say that's what sets you apart from other brands?
Yeah, man. Yeah. You know, I take pride in that. I whenever we work with someone, I want them to understand that, you know, all of this is in their best interest, not ours. You know, we're working for them and trying to do the best job possible. But on top of that, building a relationship with them that's unique. That's unique. And there's no, there's nothing in between. You know, what you see is what you get. We're down to earth people just trying to help these guys out. Women also, you know, in the fight game. And I think the athletes on their side see that and feel that, because you have that. That's the unique element that sets us apart from other brands. You know, it's relationship building and growing along with them taking the lead. And our brand is second. Our brand is never first. It's always about them. And that's the way we've always approached it.
How does it work when you work with a UFC fighter? Because, you know, ever since they signed the deal with Reebok and now Venom, a lot of the fighters, they didn't really get to show their personality, because, you know, when the UFC first started, they could all come down in like tap out t-shirts and, you know, whatever they wanted. Are there certain restrictions to what Amanda can wear and, you know, when she can wear them and stuff like that?
Yeah. So all the UFC fighters, they're allowed to have their own apparel. You know, they can, you know, work through us, or if they want to do it themselves, they can, and offer it to their fan base. The only thing that they're restricted to is during fight week, they have to use exclusively, you know, back then the Reebok gear, or now, you know, the Venom gear throughout that fight week. Once that's over, they can do whatever they want, you know. And, you know, some of these UFC guys, well, athletes, I keep on saying guys, you know, for whatever reason, but these athletes, some of them have shirts on the UFC website, but a lot of them don't. You know, all the rest of them, they have to find, you know, if they want to offer apparel for so that their fans can support, they either have to start it themselves, or they have to look for a company like ours to help them do it. And the UFC is the only one that has those restrictions. Bellator, you can wear whatever you want. Actually, PFL, I think you have to wear their gear. Most of the MMA circuit, most of them let you wear whatever you want.
Are there any other sports that you're looking, you know, that hopefully Fit Warrior can, like, move into? Because at the minute, you're mainly just fight sports, right? Like MMA and boxing.
Yeah, we're primarily MMA and boxing, but we actually have an NFL guy, Scotty Washington, that plays on the Cincinnati Bengals. We have a collab with him. He's actually a huge UFC fan and bought I forget what shirt he bought, but he bought one of the athletes that we work with. He bought a shirt, received it, and reached out and said, "Hey, your gear is dope. How is there a possibility that you would work with someone like me?" Well, of course, man. Like, you know, he opened up the door to a whole different sport. And, you know, my favorite sport is college football, then NFL second. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when someone from that side of the spectrum in sports reaches out to you and you're a fan of it, most definitely, you know, we started the collab and, you know, to this day, he's still working with us.
How has Fit Warrior brand evolved since, is it 2016 was when it first started?
The idea of it was 2016. That was when we finished the triathlon. But the starting point of actually being a brand was in 2018. So technically, the idea started six years ago, but it didn't gain any wheels until 2018. So it's literally been 4 years. So we're still young, man. We're still growing. We're still learning a lot. Every day is a different experience. There's things that we're learning on, you know, on each week, each month. And I look at it more like we haven't even started yet. You know, it's still in the beginning stages. So, you know, there's more to grow. There's more to, you know, more things to do. You know, the only way we can continue to do that is by, you know, keeping the door open to, you know, a lot of these young guys that are coming up in the sport of boxing and MMA. And but now, you know, we're getting more opportunities to work with, you know, bigger names, you know, like Kayla Plant, you know, obviously Amanda. Alexa Grasso from the UFC, Irina O'Donnell from the UFC. It's a blessing, man. We get to work with outstanding, not only athletes, but individuals. You know?
What's the future aim for Fit Warrior? So in 5 years' time, where would you like to be?
I don't know where we're going to go. The hope is that we keep on setting, you know, high marks for ourselves, you know, as a brand, continue to, you know, keep on supporting the sport of boxing, the sport of MMA. You know, me personally, you know, I'm forever grateful to the fight world because they literally opened the door for me personally, as an artist, to showcase my craft and my talent of what I always wanted to do as a kid. You know, what I do on a daily basis, I don't even consider it work. It's fun. I get to draw things every day, make things every day. You know, we have a team. Our team is all family. You know, my wife is involved with the brand. My older son, he's 18 years old. He knows how to do everything that I do outside of the art, of the design process, the artwork and all that. You know, we have two other females, you know, that work along with us. And I have, you know, co-founders that support, you know, the build of what we're doing here. You know, Justin Villa and Ivan Villa, it's a father and son that, you know, I presented them the brand at a fair, you know, about 2 years ago, still, you know, in the early stages, and they thought it was great. They thought it was, you know, something that can blossom into something cool because they saw the vision, they saw what we were doing, and they're also people person too, so they saw that we were, you know, building a platform where athletes can benefit from financially, but at the same time, you know, create cool relationships with them. unique relationships and help them however way we can along the way in this journey that they're taking, you know, because this sport is brutal, man. I've learned, you know, so many things that I didn't know about it. You know, it's for some athletes, it's a hardship, you know? So all we're trying to do is come in and provide a platform where we can help them, you know, however we can through our brand.
How much has social media helped you grow?
Man, I would say it's the number one growth point for our brand. You know, if it wasn't for Instagram, we wouldn't exist. You know, our Instagram started, I told you this earlier, it started as my personal Instagram. And I would upload what we did at the triathlon and, you know, personal things that I was doing after that dealt with health and fitness, right? And because that triathlon helped me, I was going through a bad time during 2016 and a couple of years back. You know, I was overweight, you know, dealing with certain things in my life that were hard for me. It's been one of the hardest times in my life. And if I did not venture into doing that triathlon, I wouldn't be talking to you right now, because that triathlon changed my whole life. Not only health-wise, you know, spiritually, and I'm talking about every way. And I think, you know, there's certain things that you do as you journey through life that are going to be lasting, impactful things that are going to be good. And, you know, I'm blessed that I took the opportunity to do that for myself. And by doing that, it transitioned into opportunities that we're doing now, you know. So, I mean, I get a little bit emotional talking about that, but you know, it's a blessing, man. It's I couldn't ask for anything more to be part of what we're doing here.
What would you tell somebody that's listening now that has the same dream as you? You know, they may not have the funds to start it like you did at the time, but they want to get into the clothing apparel brand. What would you tell them?
Just start. You know, the hardest thing about anything, whenever you want to do something new or something that captures your imagination, you know, just do it. I mean, I told you from the beginning, I did not know how to silk screen print. I did not know, you know, how to where to buy the apparel. I just started and learned as I went. And even when we started venturing into this, it was the same process. I was just taking it one day at a time, one DM at a time, working with one individual at a time. And just at the beginning, I was not saying no, man. Every time that someone reached out, I would say yes. You know, even though I couldn't do it, somehow we found a way to make it happen. And you just have to attack it, you know, and make the most of it, even though you make mistakes. You know, we're all going to make mistakes as we're learning to do something or doing something new. But as you make those mistakes, those are all learning lessons. You know, it's not a long lasting mistake. It's just a learning lesson. You take it and you keep pushing forward, you know, just like an athlete would do. You're going to have some good days. You're going to have some bad days. You're going to win some, you're going to lose some, but how you act when you get knocked down or you lose one is what speaks of your character. And if you don't get up and keep on attacking it when you're faced with adversity, then, you know, you're not going to do much in this world. You know, so my advice is just do it. And if it's not going to cost you an arm and a leg to begin, just attack it.
Well, Fernando, I think that's the perfect place to leave it. It's probably been one of my favorite, most inspirational interviews I think I've done. If you want to tell everybody that's listening where they can find you on all of your social media handles and anything that's coming up with the brand.
Awesome. Yeah. So they can follow us on Instagram at FTWR brand. I believe our Twitter is the same, FTWR brand. On our website is, man, what is it? I believe it's the same. Yeah, FTWRbrand.com. And we actually are working on something that's gonna possibly change this brand in a very, very positive way. I think it opened the door to get more involved in the boxing world and the MMA world. I don't want to go into too much detail right now because it's still in the design process. Mm-hmm. But if it does get done, you will see it. I mean, it's going to be awesome. And, you know, hopefully we can get that done and keep on being a big part of helping, you know, these athletes in the sport of boxing and MMA and other sports.
Awesome. I can't wait to find out. And you can catch us at the Last Round 12 for our boxing side. And we are at TLR MMA for our MMA version of the podcast. This is The Last Round.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Last Round MMA podcast. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and interviews. In the meantime, follow The Last Round MMA on Twitter and Instagram at TLRMMA.